Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1 the Kingery. Swinging a high fly ball left center field. Not all that deep. Jackie coming in. He gets some momentum behind the throw. He makes the catch. Franco's coming home. And the throw is up the line. And he doesn't slide, but he makes it.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Phillies.
Pitch. Swing ground ball toward the middle. Off the glove of the diving Bogarts. And that'll score a run. Hoskins crosses the plate. And a huge insurance run for the Phillies, who lead it 3-1.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
So as the Muttman was saying, or I'm sorry, during Red Sox time, he's Mike Muttnansky. As Michael was saying, the Red Sox with a very, very busy day, trade deadline across baseball, and they cap it with a disappointing 3-1 loss to the Phillies. Welcome into Red Sox Review. My name is Alex Reamer, taking you up until midnight tonight at 617-779-7937. Your phone number again is 617-779-7937. Lots to get into tonight. Quickly, let's start off with the game. Phillies win, as we mentioned, 3-1. Another poor offensive showing for the Red Sox, who struggled to score in both games against Philadelphia. Aaron Nola last night shut them down. Jake Arrieta tonight shut the Red Sox down. And overall, since the All-Star break, the Red Sox lineup has not been quite what it was prior to the break. Got the stat off Twitter from Red Sox Stats, an incredible follow. The Red Sox have gone scoreless in 25 of their last 30 trips to the plate. So that definitely will have to change in just two nights when the Yankees come to Fenway for a massive four-game series. And don't look now, folks, but the Red Sox lost tonight and the Yankees win over the pathetic Orioles, who now basically are just Adam Jones and 24 minor leaguers. Yankees win 6-3. They're now 5 back. They play the Orioles tomorrow. Assuming they take care of business and win, they'll be just 4.5 games heading into Fenway Park. Series begins Thursday night. It was going to be Chris Sale on the hill, but as we know, Chris Sale now on the DL with mild left shoulder inflammation. It will be Brian Johnson getting the start in game one against CC Sabathia instead of Chris Sale. So lots of news today out of Fenway Park. Ironically, though it was the trade deadline, the Red Sox were silent today on the trade front. They made their move last night, acquiring Ian Kinsler from the Angels. Kinsler went 1-for-4 in his Red Sox debut this evening. So the big news at Fenway broke around 5 o'clock or so. Chris Sale, they announced out of the blue on the DL with that shoulder inflammation. The DL trip is retroactive to July 28th. And, you know, it's a good reminder of what this Red Sox season is really all about and what the X factor really is. We can talk all we want about Brad Ziegler and Jake Diekman and the 15, 20 relievers who were dealt over the last couple weeks, and why didn't the Red Sox get a reliever? Dombrowski never built a bullpen in Detroit. He's failing the Red Sox by not building a bullpen here. You're over the luxury tax. You're not going all the way. You're not getting the reinforcements in the pen. And we'll talk about that plenty tonight up until midnight, I promise you. But if the Red Sox fail in their quest to make a World Series run this year, it won't be because he didn't get Brad Ziegler. It won't be because he didn't get Jake Diekman. It won't be because he didn't get, even Zach Britton, quite frankly. If the Red Sox don't make a legitimate run this year, it will be because their starting pitching, the thing, the entity that's supposed to carry this team, has failed them once again. And when you're on pace to win like 110 games, that's really all that matters. And we go to Chris Sale. Chris Sale on the DL. Dave Dombrowski spoke today about the injury, saying he attributes it to a sore. He attributes the soreness to a change in slider grip. But here's Dombrowski describing the Sale injury today.
I know he's discouraged because he rarely goes on a disabled list, and he rarely misses a start. But these things happen throughout the season. We've been very careful. It doesn't mean still when you're being careful that things still don't happen. It's part of dealing, unfortunately, with the rigors of baseball, and it's particularly in pit with pitchers. So, no, and it's just, I think what's, nobody really knows why per se, but he has changed the grip a little bit more on his slider over this season, and it's a little bit, and I think that may have caused a little bit of that problem.
Maybe it's nothing. Maybe Dombrowski's right. Maybe Chris Sale is right. Maybe Alex Cora is right. All parties insist Sale will just miss his start in 2 days, and he'll be back on his regular schedule after that. Maybe that's the case. And, you know, right now, Sale's been awesome. It's been Pedro-esque. 11-4, leads league in ERA, leads league in strikeouts with 207. He's allowed 2 runs or fewer and struck out 9 batters or more over his last 9 starts. Shutouts in 5 of those starts. I mean, as I said, this is Pedro-esque. But, you know, in Chris Sale, here we are, end of July, just an hour away from August, goes on the DL with shoulder inflammation. I hearken back to last year where through 17 starts, which is where Sale is right now, he was great. The numbers are pretty much identical. 13-4, 2.37 ERA. This series even better, 2.04, 211 Ks. Last year he was at 207, 147 innings last year. This year at 141, so right on the similar pace. And then last August and September, Chris Sale scuttled, 4.09 ERA. He allowed 7 runs in Game 1 against Houston in the ALDS. We all know how that went. You know, even tonight, you think, thinking back to last year, Xander Bogaerts got out of the gate real hot in 2017, had a nice first half of the season, then, oh, gets hit on the wrist with a fastball, is never the same. Tonight, Xander Bogaerts, Dominguez, the hard-throwing Phillies closer, hits him right above that right wrist with a fastball in the upper 90s. Bogaerts goes down. After the game, the Red Sox, pretty cautious. Alex Cora saying that Bogaerts is being evaluated, but he's still pretty sore. So you have Sale going on the DL, which reminds me of how he faltered down the stretch last year and ran out of gas. And then you have Bogaerts down, hit on the wrist with a fastball, just like he was last year. He was putrid offensively after getting hit on the wrist. He's been real good so far this year, but we'll see. The Red Sox is pretty sore and is still getting evaluated. You know, and again, look, Chris Sale has been so dominant. He would win the Cy Young right now if the season ended today, but he was just as dominant last year. The numbers are basically identical, and maybe it's just, again, as simple as Dombrowski said, changing grip on the slider, better to be careful than aggressive at this stage. The Red Sox still do have a 5-game lead, still 2 months left in the regular season. No reason to panic, no reason to push things, so maybe it's just that. But you forget, Chris Sale really faltered down the stretch last year. He was bad in the playoffs. And you look at the rest of this rotation. David Price, we don't need to go over his postseason's troubles. We don't need to go over his troubles against the Yankees. By the way, he's due to face the Yankees Sunday night. Now, Price has certainly pitched well his last couple times out. But last night, 8 hits in 8 innings, topped out at 92-93. His changeup was in the mid-80s, not a lot of velocity separation. If he had that kind of stuff against the Yankees and a healthy Aaron Judge and Stanton and Gleyber Torres and that lineup, and those right-handed mashers that they have, I think he would have lasted. I don't think he would have lasted 8 innings. Let's just put it that way. If Rick Porcello, who's going Friday night against the Yanks, he's been hit real hard 2 of his last 3 times out against the Jays and Tigers, 2 teams that absolutely stink. Eduardo Rodriguez still on the DL with a walking boot. Drew Pomerantz, I know Mutt's been big on the Pomerantz X factor. Maybe you move Pomerantz to the bullpen and that's where you get the most out of him. I'm sorry, he tops out at like 88 miles an hour now. I think 92 is the hardest he threw tonight, but he was sitting around 88, 89 all night long. Drew Pomerantz, no, I'm not going to count on him to give the Red Sox anything down the stretch, especially in the starting rotation. So the Eovaldi acquisition is big. Yep, add another arm in there. He had a great debut Sunday, 7 shutout frames, but it's not about Nathan Eovaldi. It's about Chris Sale. It's about David Price. It's about Rick Porcello. It's about the top three in this Red Sox rotation. And Chris Sale going in the DL with a left shoulder inflammation. I know it's mild. Dombrowski says just a change in grip. Not great, because the alternative was Chris Sale starting Thursday night against the Yankees. He's not doing that now. So it's just a reminder of how great this regular season has been, And it certainly has been great, and it's going to be great for another 2 months. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it. I'm not saying these wins don't count, Lou Maloney. They do. The Red Sox are awesome. You cannot criticize them for anything they've done through the first 4 months of the season. But they've won the division for 2 straight years and gone 1-6 in the playoffs. As we know, regular season performance, not always a harbinger of postseason performance. And the Red Sox had no chance against Cleveland in 16 and no chance against Houston last year because of their porous starting pitching. And as good as Chrysal has been, as good as Price has been for the most part, as good as Porcello has been for the most part, up until recently, hard to have faith in these guys. And Chrysal, again, goes on the DL, 10-day disabled list. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. That, again, is 617-779-7937. So what says you guys? How do you read this Chrysal DL stint? Do you think it may be a sign of possible things to come? Is it a redux of last year? You go on again with Bogarts getting hit on the wrist tonight. Those memories of 2017 start to come back. We'll talk about all that and more with your phone calls. Also go over the trade deadline thoughts. Did the Red Sox do enough? Red Sox review on WEEI. It is 11:06. Here's what's trending now in WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox fell to the Phillies 3-1 at Fenway Park tonight to split the two-game set. They had 2 runners on with nobody out in the ninth and failed to score. Red Sox went 0-14 with runners in scoring position tonight. Xander Bogaerts got hit right above the wrist with a fastball in the ninth inning as well. He has a right hand contusion. X-rays are negative. The Red Sox say he is in a bit of pain. Drew Pomerantz got the loss as well. He was charged with 2 runs in 5 innings while striking out 4. Sox have a rare off day on a Wednesday tomorrow. They'll start a 4-game series against the Yankees at Fenway on Thursday. It was supposed to be Chrysal on the hill, but Brian Johnson will get the start instead against CC Sabathia. Why is that, you ask? Well, that's because Chrysal was placed on the 10-day DL Thursday with a mild left shoulder inflammation. The DL stint is retroactive to July 28th. Dave Dombrowski says it's because of a change of grip on his slider. The trade deadline, meanwhile, came and went without the Red Sox dealing for a reliever. Ian Kinsler did make his Sox debut Tuesday, going 1-4. And the Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3 tonight. They're now 5 games back with 1 more against the O's before coming here. And in Patriots news, a team worked out wide receiver Eric Decker Monday, according to ESPN's Field Yates. They'll hit the practice field again tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Weather this hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and Cape Cod Lumber. 75 degrees and humid right now. Tomorrow, 83 with a chance of thunderstorms. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Red Sox Review starts now.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1 the Kingery. Swinging a high fly ball left center field. Not all that deep. Jackie coming in. He gets some momentum behind the throw. He makes the catch. Franco's coming home. And the throw is up the line. And he doesn't slide, but he makes it.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Phillies.
Pitch. Swing ground ball toward the middle. Off the glove of the diving Bogarts. And that'll score a run. Hoskins crosses the plate. And a huge insurance run for the Phillies, who lead it 3-1.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Welcome back, Red Sox Review. We roll on until midnight and taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. As I tweeted out prior to the show tonight, 12-year-old Alex Reamer would have been very excited to be behind the mic on trade deadline day hosting Red Sox Review on WEEI. Oh, so excited. The voice was actually even a little screechier back then than it is now. I know that's very hard to believe, but it is true. It has actually gotten deeper from where it was all those years ago. We're here until midnight, a night where it's hard to not think of 2017. It's hard to not think of 2017 for a couple reasons. First of all, let's just start with what happened a few minutes ago. Ninth inning, 2 on for the Red Sox in the ninth. Sir Anthony Dominguez, the hard-throwing Phillies closer on the hill, plunks Xander Bogaerts right above the right wrist with a fastball in the upper 90s. Bogaerts goes down after the game. X-rays negative. Red Sox announced he has a right-hand contusion. Bogaerts has been there before last year. July 6th, Bogaerts hit on the wrist with a fastball. And from there, his production torpedoed. After Bogaerts was hit on the wrist last July, he hit .232 the rest of the way with 4 home runs, .661 OPS. He performed like an all-star through the first 3 months of the season, then got hit on the wrist and turned into Eduardo Nunez. That was Xander Bogaerts last year after getting hit. Tonight, gets hit on the wrist with the fastball. Again, x-rays negative, but the Red Sox say he's sore. Right-hand contusion, certainly something worth monitoring. And suffice to say, Bogaerts is a huge cog in this lineup because he really lengthens it. Without Bogaerts, you get a little thin. With him, you stretch to six, and then you go to the bottom third, and Blake Swihart, who's been swinging the bat well. Swihart, by the way, mark my words, will be the starting catcher for this team down the stretch. But you have Swihart, Jackie Bradley, Devers comes back. At least one of those three guys you figure on a nightly basis gives you production at the bottom of the order. The key is Bogaerts. Can you be six deep at the top? You have been through the first 4 months of the season, and that's a big reason why the Red Sox lead the league in runs scored. Their anemic offense performance against Philadelphia aside, we know how good this lineup has been. And it's been good because of six deep at the top. Bogaerts, big part of that. Hit on the wrist, what's he going to be the rest of the way? Worth watching. And then you have Chris Sale. The news before the game, announced by the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski, Sale on the DL with mild left shoulder inflammation, retroactive to July 28th. He'll miss a start Thursday against the Yankees. He's been Pedro-esque his last several times out. Allowed two runs or fewer, struck out nine batters or more over his last nine outings, shutouts in five of them. Impossible to be better. Leads the league in ERA, leads the league in strikeouts, just like he did last year through 17 starts. And then what happened in August and September? 4.09 ERA, allowed seven runs in game one against the Astros. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe, as Dombrowski said, it's just a change in slider grip. Maybe Sale will be out there for his next start, but it's hard to view Chris Sale going on the DL and not think of how he faltered down the stretch last season. And it brings into question all the other concerns and unknowns with this Red Sox rotation. The $217 million man, David Price, he'll get another chance at the Yankees Sunday night. Rick Porcello, he's been hit hard two of his last three times out against the awful Jays and Tigers. We'll see what he does Friday against a good Yankees lineup. Erod still on the DL. Pomerantz throws 88 now. So this rotation, I mean, the Red Sox have invested in the rotation. $217 million in David Price and two of your top prospects, Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech for Chris Sale. They've paid, and don't forget about the Rick Porcello deal either, $20 million per year, though that does predate Dombrowski, but still, lots of money invested, lots of prospects invested in the top three guys in this Red Sox rotation. In 2016 and 2017, the Red Sox had no chance against either the Indians or Astros because their starters gave them no chance. And as good as Sale has been, and frankly, as good as Price has been for the most part this season, to me, the starting rotation is an unknown, and we can talk all we want about Brad Ziegler and relievers and Jake Diekman and all the guys who the Red Sox could have gotten today or the last couple of days or the last couple weeks, but it doesn't matter if this starting pitching doesn't give them a chance to win the game. And it's just another reminder of how urgent all of this is. Dombrowski has turned the Red Sox into the Tigers of 2011 through 2014. They must win now. They have no farm system. They're the only team in baseball without a prospect in MLB Pipeline's top 100 rankings. Compared to the competition, the Red Sox are barren in the minor leagues, as we all know, just like those Tiger teams were barren in the minor leagues. And those Tiger teams made some runs. They made it to a couple ALCSs. We all know about 2013 against the Red Sox, but they just couldn't get over the hump. They just couldn't get over the hump. And you see, you know, even a great offense that leads the league in runs scored can get shut down over a 2-3 game span. The Red Sox have gone scoreless in 25 of their last 30 trips to the plate. Well, they ran up against some good pitching this series. Aaron Nola on Monday, Jake Arrieta tonight. They went 0-14 with runners in scoring position tonight. So Mookie Betts can win the MVP. JD Martinez can lead the league in home runs. You can have all of this incredible offensive production in the middle of your lineup, but even the best hitters in the world go cold for three games. It happens. So we know how slippery of a slope this is. And it is just so urgent for the Red Sox right now, because after this year, you have Kimbrel up. The year after that, Chris Sale is up. JD Martinez can opt out. Then Bogaerts is up. Mookie Betts is up. This is the best the Red Sox will be for a while. This is their window. And the last couple days and today in particular. Sale goes on the DL. Bogaerts hit by the pitch like last year. It's a reminder of how tenuous all of this is. Even though they're on 110-plus win pace, 70-plus wins, five-game lead against the Yankees, could not be going better right now. But it can all end with a snap of the fingers. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Sean is in Idaho and leads us off tonight. What's going on, Sean?
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, you have a good way of saying it, bud. You know, you hit it right there. I mean, I'm going to rip the offense totally. I mean, look, apparently in the series against the Phillies, it wasn't just tonight with the 0-for-14, but last night when you watch the game, you're like sitting there and I'm sitting there and we're like, gosh, just win the game. I mean, they ran into a very tough Phillies team and then they had that trouble against the Twins. Offense has got to get going because, you know, we're playing a very pivotal series and we already know, everybody listening in, Red Sox fans, that look, I'm a Red Sox fan, always will be. I've been a Sox fan for a long, long time. Once you get to August and September, these are the two critical months of the pennant race. So they know that they need to do well and the hitting needs to come through. I was disgusted because tonight there were all kinds of opportunities when a leadoff double or there was a runner at third and you couldn't even get the run home. Come on, that's not good. Then first and second, nobody out in the ninth. That's not good either.
No, it's not good, Sean. Thanks for the call. Yeah, two on, nobody out in the ninth. It's not what you want to see. Red Sox go down 1-2-3. Newest member of the team, Ian Kinsler, strikes out as well. Again, just getting more updates here on Bogaerts. This is Evan Drellick tweeting, right-hand contusion, x-rays negative, same spot as last year. He sounded worried just because of the similarity, but good news is x-rays are negative. So, yeah, and again, that happened in that ninth inning tonight. Bogaerts gets hit. Red Sox cannot capitalize with runners in scoring position. And, you know, Sean says he's going to rip the offense. I'm not going to rip the offense over a cold stretch. It has not been the same since the All-Star break. That's true, but they've been so good, and there's so much talent at the top of this lineup, especially. You know, if players perform to their abilities, this lineup doesn't really have a weakness. I mean, maybe they're not as powerful as the Yankees or Houston can be, but they don't have a weakness. Blake Swihart's been awesome the last few weeks. Threw out a runner tonight. As I said, he's the guy the rest of the way. Jackie Bradley hitting over 300 since the end of June, as we know. Devers will be back shortly, it sounds like. So I'm not worried about this lineup, but yeah, even the best lineups can go cold for a stretch. As the Red Sox have seen the playoffs 2016, they're seeing it here at the end of July this year. So yeah, you need to be firing on all cylinders to succeed in October, even if you're on this kind of pace, which is why when you look at the trade deadline, look, there were tons and tons of relievers moved. Tons of guys moved. And we saw tonight how the Red Sox are at least one guy short in that bullpen right now. Matt Parnes loads the bases in the eighth. Yes, gets out of the jam. Then Velasquez allows an insurance run in the ninth. But 22 relief pitchers traded since the All-Star break. Not all of them the Red Sox had the chips to get, right? I mean, the guys signed for multiple years like Brad Hand or Zach Britton. Or Zach Britton was a rental, but an expensive one. But even, you know, Britton, I don't think the Red Sox could have beat the Yankees package. Hand, we know, signed through 2020. Indians give up one of their top catching prospects, one of the top catching prospects in the game. Probably didn't have the chips to get him. But, you know, you look at all the rental guys who were moved. Like Brad Ziegler, really. Joaquin Soria, Familia, the A's gave up like their 20th best prospect for him. The Nationals, the Red Sox reportedly called on Kelvin Herrera last night, but the Nationals got Herrera in June from the Royals and gave up their 10th and 11th ranked prospects for him. The Red Sox couldn't have had a competitive offer there. You think they probably could have, even with the barren state of their system. It's relief pitching. So yeah, 22 relievers traded since the break. Those are the Achilles heels of Dombrowski's Tigers teams, the bullpen being thinned down there. So yeah, the Red Sox still need a reliever, and it's disappointing they didn't get one. The good news is there's plenty of guys still available on the market. Bud Norris, Barinclough from the Marlins, Clinton Yates, Jared Hughes. I mean, plenty of guys, rental guys, who will be available come August. You can pick them up from the waiver wire. You can get them for cheap, and off you go. So it's not done yet. And I think the Red Sox still could add, will add, should add relief pitching. You know, because as far as everything else goes, Dombrowski did a nice job, as he's done the last couple deadlines, filling in holes with veteran pieces. Steve Pierce, OPS north of 900 since joining the Red Sox. You can't quibble with that. And he's been a good platoon partner for Mitch Moreland, whose performance has declined over the last couple weeks. So Pierce acquisition looks better now than it did when it first happened. Nathan Eovaldi shut out in his debut. Powerful right-handed arm with Pomerantz's struggles tonight. We saw how important it is to just have more guys to solidify the back end of that rotation. And the thing about Eovaldi is right-handed power arm. I think that's more important than a lefty, given the state of the American League with all the right-handed bats. Judge, Stanton, Torres, Jose Ramirez with the Indians, Encarnacion with the Indians, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, George Springer, Alex Bregman. I mean, the American League is so right-handed heavy. And you talk about the bullpen, Eovaldi, it seems like a perfect candidate to go to the bullpen in the playoffs, be maybe a strikeout guy over there. So I like the Eovaldi move. And I like the Kinsler move, too. I like the Kinsler move a lot. He's a great defensive player, hitting over 300 in the last month. Yeah, struck out in the ninth tonight, but went the opposite way for his first hit. He's a pull hitter overall. We know that plays well at Fenway. Kinsler, just on his defense alone, is an upgrade over Eduardo Nunez, who, as bad as he is offensively, is even worse defensively. But you look overall, Kinsler's last 1,000 plate appearances. He's at like 237, 719 OPS. So that's a question with Kinsler offensively, right? Is he the guy who we've seen the last 1,000 times up over the last 2 years, which is a very large sample size, 1,000 plate appearances? Or do we judge him more in the last month and say he's hitting over 300 the last 30 days? You get him back in a pennant push with a playoff team out of Anaheim to Fenway Park, sold out every night. I think 18 straight sellouts now. Does Kinsler's career get reinvigorated? Regardless, even if he doesn't give you much offensive production at all, he's a big upgrade over Eduardo Nunez because of the defense. So the Red Sox, like they did the last couple years with Dombrowski, have plugged in veteran holes. We've gotten the veterans who have improved areas of this roster. It would have been a lot better to get a reliever or two in here. I think that still could happen, will happen, should happen in August, but Dombrowski was active. He made three trades. All three of them, I think, are winners. And again, you know, we've talked so much about trades, but that's not going to make or break the Red Sox. It just isn't. It isn't. The Red Sox have no chance if Chris Sale isn't healthy and pitching well. The Red Sox have no chance if David Price can't pitch well in October. The Red Sox have no chance if this offense goes through a short slump like they've gone through the last few days. They have no chance if Xander Bogaerts hits like he did after getting hit in the wrist last season. So these are ancillary details, really. The Red Sox had holes. Dombrowski plugged all of them, except the bullpen, where you can still upgrade in August. Yep, 22 relievers moved. It's frustrating. Red Sox are thin there. But again, Brad Ziegler is not going to be the difference between this team getting to the World Series or not. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's grab Paul in Westfield tonight. What's going on, Paul?
Good evening, Al. How are you, bud?
Hey, what's up?
I have a really good idea I want to run by you. I'm pitching against the Yankees, but I think the silver lining to this cloud is what you bring up. When Sale is inflamed from repetitive use, it's only 2 months left, so we're just about there. That's probably something we didn't know about last year and why he got shelled. And, you know, that's important because we have to come up with alternate ideas and options to attack the Yankees. So, Al, let me ask you real quick about this idea. We don't have Sale, so if we have a variety of starters, if you can bring them out before the game and clock their exit velocity down and away, down and in, down and out, and whoever's got the best stuff, put them in for a few innings.
Paul. Who are we putting in for a few innings at a time here?
We have a plan to bring out, let's say, two or three different starters that are the best one that day, that's showing the best stuff before the game, and basically give anarchy to the Yankees where they're not going to have time to get adjusted, get them out and away.
And when are the Red Sox doing this? Are you doing this for this series, or are they saving this special attack for October?
No, I would try it now in the four-game series against the Yankees. We don't have Chris Sale. What have we got to lose?
What happens the rest of the way, though, after you blow up your rotation for a weekend series in early August? What happens for the rest of the season?
No, you're not blowing up the rotation. If it was football, you'd call it blitzes and bloops, five-man stunts. And
do you do this for every Yankee series? Do you do this for the playoffs? Like, do you do this for every series just against the Yankees? How else does this work?
Oh, quit trying to overthink in Molotov cocktail every day. You're so miserable.
I'm sorry, Paul. I know. I don't mean to rain on your parade. Hey, analytics, you can do crazy things. Maybe that's it. Maybe no rotation the rest of the way. Just every day. Price, Porcello, Erod, you know, if he comes back, Pomerantz. Can you get it above 90? I don't know, Eamon.
How's that working for the Rays?
Not awfully. I mean, not terribly.
Yeah.
Not terribly.
Overrated, I think.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you pay like, I mean, the other thing is too, like the Rays, I read next year have like $10 million committed in payroll pre-arbitration next year with all the selling off they've done. So a little different when you have like $217 million invested in David Price and you have Chris Sale, you know, the best pitcher on the planet right now. And, you know, Pomerantz, you're paying $20 million a year, or Porcello rather. A little different. But I mean, I've heard people today say, you know, maybe David Price goes to the bullpen in October since the Red Sox didn't get a reliever. That is so asinine. You don't pay a guy more money than any pitcher in baseball history and put him in the bullpen in October. And it's a sad state of affairs that that's even a topic with David Price. So I don't know, Paul. They got to roll him out there. Yep. Sale's not going Thursday. It's going to be Brian Johnson against CeCe Sabathia. Definitely not the matchup the Red Sox are looking for, though Johnson did pitch pretty well his last time up. We'll just give him credit where credit is due. But, yeah, it just shows you, again, how as good as the starting staff is on paper and as good as the Red Sox have been, the questions still persist. 617-779-7937 is your phone call. Callers, we see you there. Do you think the Red Sox did enough at the deadline? Again, they get Steve Pierce. They get Eovaldi. They get Ian Kinsler. As a Jewish American as well, I love bringing Kinsler into the fold.
Brandon Phillips, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know about Phillips. Don't take my boy Kinsler's spot. Maybe the best active Jewish baseball player today. Love Ian Kinsler. Also brings me back to those great Rangers teams in the mid-2000s, right? Michael Young, Mark Teixeira, Ian Kinsler.
Hank Blaylock.
Oh, I loved Hank Blaylock. Underrated hitter, by the way.
Guy would just mash fastballs.
Yes. How do you have like fewer 30 home run seasons? Alex the Phenom. The 12-year-old Alex, who was in the dugout interviewing Kevin Millar, who would have been pumped to his Red Sox review on the trade deadline day. He knew those Rangers teams, loved those Rangers teams, so I love seeing Kinsler here. But, you know, again, last 1,000 at-bats, he's hitting like .230. So defense alone, upgrade over Nunez. But how big of an upgrade is he? Dabrowski didn't agree, Lever. What do you feel about that? Is this a repeat of the Detroit Tigers where they were perfect in every aspect except the bullpen, and it sunk them? Did the Sox do enough? Again, 617-779-7937. And how about the Yankees additions? Are those enough to close the gap in the East? We'll do all that and your phone calls coming up next. Red Sox review.
If this was something more serious, I would tell you. We're not hiding anything. This is nothing that we're worried about. This is, you know, a concern at most. You know, this isn't something that I deemed necessary to, or anybody thought was necessary to get an MRI. It's just a little soreness, you know, in your pitching arm, and, you know, take some Advil, get it rubbed down, and ready to go.
So that's Chris Sale saying all is well. Don't worry. It's just mild left shoulder inflammation. Dombrowski says it's due to a change in grip on the slider. He'll miss his start Thursday against the Yanks. He'll be back out there next time out. Then you have Bogaerts hit on the hand tonight, the right hand contusion. Yeah, x-rays negative, but same spot he got hit last year. And then after that, he was basically Eduardo Nunez the rest of the way at the plate. So shades of 2017 tonight. That's the theme. Taking your phone calls up until midnight at 617-779-7937. As I said earlier, it's just a reminder of how good this Red Sox team has been, on pace for more than 110 wins, still a five-game lead in the division, as good and flawless as they've been so far. It's just so tenuous. It can be just so tenuous down the stretch and into October. Also talking about the Red Sox deadline, they get Ian Kinsler last night, who, even if he really is what he's been the last year and a half, which is a bad player offensively, like a 230 hitter has lasted 1,000 plate appearances. That's still an upgrade over Nunez because Kinsler is a Gold Glove caliber second baseman right up there with Pedroia in terms of range and everything else. Nunez is awful defensively, as we know. We know that Devers is bad defensively, too. So you get another good defensive player in your infield. That's a plus. Even if Kinsler gives you nothing offensively, and he's hitting well the last month. You saw him go the opposite way tonight for a base hit. Pull hitters, we know they have a lot of success in Fenway Park. So maybe Kinsler gives you two good months of offense. But that's a plus. Kinsler, even if he struggles at the plate, is an upgrade defensively. So that's a good move for the Sox. I like the Eovaldi trade. I like the Steven Pearce acquisition a lot. The one thing that's missing is a reliever. And I'm on the record as saying the Red Sox need at least one more guy to help get the bridge to Craig Kimbrel. They need at least one more guy. It would be negligent, absolutely negligent, if Dave Dombrowski did not upgrade this bullpen before October. But I'm not going to freak out about the Red Sox not getting someone this month because they still have all of August. I mean, the Astros picked up Justin Verlander on August 31st last year. You're going to tell me the Red Sox couldn't pick up Jared Hughes or Bud Norris in August? Again, the Astros picked up Verlander, for crying out loud. Let's grab Jed in Worcester. Jed, what's going on tonight?
Hi, how's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, I agree with you on the trade. Kinsler is good on second. He's a good defense, and I looked at his averages. He's starting to pick it up in July.
Yeah, hitting over 300 over the last month.
Yeah, so I think he's the kind of player I think he's going to pick it up going into the playoffs.
He could.
And I like Eovaldi. Is Eovaldi pitching against the Yankees?
Yes, I think he is pitching Saturday. He'll be on the mound Saturday against I'll look it up. But yes, Eovaldi will be there Saturday.
Yeah, because he did a good job against Minnesota. I think he really did a good job against them.
Threw the ball hard, that's for sure. 97, Jed, hard to catch up with that.
That's for sure. I think he's going to be a big plus for coming into the playoffs with the Red Sox. I think he's going to do really good.
Yep, and he'll be, right now he's scheduled to face Jay Happ on Saturday, but Jay Happ has foot, hand, and mouth disease. What is up with baseball players getting this hand, foot, and mouth disease, Eamon?
Had never heard of it in literally forever, and then two
like
in the same
joke.
Season? It does, and it's like, I don't know, I think I heard Lou say on the broadcast, like, why wouldn't you just say it's literally anything else?
It's like a joke. It's like, what? Hand? Right. So I think of head, shoulders, knees and toes, like, I don't know. I'm reading what it is. It's called, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce what the virus is called, COX, Coxsackie virus. There you go, Ken Laird. There's your newest Reamer drop, the Coxsackie virus. I've had that a couple times.
I'll
it's
be marking
bad.
That immediately.
It's bad, Eamon. It's bad. But don't worry. You can get over it. It's rare, minor, most often found in children. So Jay Happ, one of the Yankees' newest acquisitions, questionable Saturday with hand, foot, in mouth disease. And speaking of Happ, you know, the Yankees, what do they do? Well, they got Zach Britton, they got Jay Happ, they got Lance Lynn. Did they do enough? Yeah, no. I mean, if the Yankees catch the Red Sox, it's not going to be because they got Jay Happ and Lance Lynn. Well, Lance Lynn, first of all, is an ERA over 5, and he's pitched decently against the Red Sox this year, a couple times out against the Twins, oddly enough, but against everyone else, he's been bad. So, Lance Lynn, nah. I mean, Jay Happ is better than what the Yankees have been trotting out in the fourth, fifth spots, but he's not going to make up a 5-game deficit. Zach Britton is a postseason move because in the playoffs now, if the Yankees get in there, they can go Chapman, Betances, Britton, David Robertson, Chad Green. I mean, their starters only need to go 5 innings in most playoff games with that kind of lineup if everybody's pitching well. So that's a postseason move, but in the regular season, again, if the Yankees catch the Red Sox, it's going to be because Judge comes back and mashes, Stanton mashes, Gleyber Torres mashes, this right-handed heavy Yankees lineup mashes the left-handed Red Sox starters. They mash David Price on Sunday. Severino continues his run. Sabathia continues to shut down the Red Sox. So these Yankees acquisitions, like the Red Sox acquisitions, good pieces that fill in the puzzle, but ultimately not the difference. It's about the nucleus of these teams. Let's go to Dimitri, who's calling from Rowley, English, Alex. Dimitri, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Sorry for butchering your intro. What's up?
No, it's all right.
Okay.
Rally Rams.
Rally, where is that? I don't even know.
It's northeast. It's right by Salisbury, Newburyport.
Oh, okay. I know Salisbury, Newburyport. There we go.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, I don't think the Sox bullpen really needs another guy.
What?
Because you're telling me, I think our four starters can go against, Sabathia, Severino, and Tanaka?
Yeah, those are the three. Then Hap, I guess, would be their fourth.
Because you're talking about a five-game series, most likely, against the Yankees first round.
Right, so if the Yankees get there.
Our best starters, you're going to take, obviously, you're going to put Porcello in there. And you're going to put Sale, obviously. And whether you put Erod or you put Price in the pen.
Yeah, but Dimitri Porcello went two innings in his last postseason start against the Astros. What makes you think he'll pitch well in the playoffs?
You know what? You really can't bank on anybody pitching well in the playoffs. It's kind of like a game-to-game thing, and you really see who has the mud. And last year we saw Chris Sale and Porcello really didn't have the mud. Price was the one guy that actually stepped up. But at the same time, like, we have the best closer in baseball, and we have two guys to set him up to throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but Dimitri, Joe Kelly in a big spot. Are you comfortable with him? Matt Barnes tonight loaded the bases. I mean, are you comfortable with them in big, high-leverage spots?
Dude, I'm not comfortable against them, like, every situation, but I'm comfortable against them. I'm comfortable with them against the Yankees just because we did to Tyler Austin. I mean, I know Tyler Austin's gone now, but...
Tyler Austin, why? Because Joe Kelly hit him? What does he have to do with anything? Poor Tyler Austin.
Who's Tyler Austin?
Yeah, no, I said, what does he have to do with anything?
He doesn't have to do with anything, but I'm just saying you're a Boston guy. And the same thing with Matt Barnes. He's a Connecticut guy. He's a local guy. You get a guy in the pen that's going to actually show some mud in the playoffs.
There we go. A local boy. I got you now, Dimitri. Dimitri from Rowley. There we go. Local boys. Making us proud. I don't know, maybe. Matt Barnes can throw 100, but tonight I see him load the bases. I just don't. Matt Barnes in a big spot, I just don't feel great about it. Joe Kelly has not pitched well recently. They're short in the pen. They need another guy, and those are the downfall of those Tigers teams. They did not have the bullpen, as we saw here in 2013. And again, I would have liked to see 22 relievers removed. I know the Red Sox farm system is not great. It is not deep, but they had enough to pick up at least one of these rental arms. There's no doubt. They did not get outbid for Brad Ziegler. Whatever it is, they just didn't really inquire about him. But they have the whole month of August to do that. And they do have a 5-game lead. So overall, Dombrowski, I think, did a good job this month. Pierce acquisition, I love. I like Eovaldi a lot. And remember, Eovaldi is kind of a bullpen acquisition because come the playoffs, he can slot in the bullpen. So I like Eovaldi. I like Kinsler again, even if he gives you nothing offensively, defensively alone. He's an upgrade over Nunez and this relatively porous infield defense. And again, Verlander, the Astros got him at the end of August last year. I think the Red Sox could pick up a rental reliever between now and September 1st as well. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Again, 617-779-7937. Cars, you're still lined up. You want to talk deadline. You want to talk sale. We'll get to you. And also, I do want to talk briefly about the Roberto Ozuna trade. Not a good look for baseball. The Astros pick up a reliever from the Twins, Roberto Ozuna, who's currently serving an 80-game suspension for domestic violence. Not great at all. We'll do that next Red Sox review.
Yeah, but you guys think probably, you know, we can say, well, you need a reliever, you don't need a reliever. You guys were probably, however many guys you have out down there, 100% say we don't need a reliever.
Right. I mean,
because you see the best in yourself.
Right. We're very confident in ourselves out there, and we think that we're going to get the job done more times than not.
Do you have a good bullpen as the Yankees?
Yes.
All right. Good. Do you have the best bullpen in baseball?
Yes.
Good. That's the confidence that we need.
We're there.
What?
We're there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that comes back to the whole trade deadline thing.
Right.
So you must be sort of befuddled by this about, like, if you think that you have the best bullpen in baseball,
correct,
why do we need another reliever?
Sounds like my man Bradfo giving Matt Barnes a pep talk. Was that an interview or a pep talk, Eamon?
More of a pep talk.
More of a pep talk. Come on. Yeah, you guys are good. You got it. Well, it's nice that Matt Barnes thinks they have the best pen in the majors. Not quite sure of that. It would be negligent if Dombrowski did not get at least one more guy in here. Luckily, though, they have another month to do it. And there will be plenty of other fine rental relievers on the market this August. Again, Brad Ziegler is not going to be the difference between this team making a pennant run and exiting early. It's going to be Chris Sale, Price, this lineup, this great lineup. Leads league in runs scored, but they go through a cold spell like they have the last couple of Octobers. And like they have the last three games here, and especially the last two against Philly. Those are the big questions with the Red Sox. 617-779-7937. Few minutes left on Red Sox Review if you want to jump aboard, but let's grab Mike in Connecticut. Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, buddy? I'm a little worried about this Sale thing. I think it's a little deeper than mild inflammation, because there's no reason to hold him back. This is a huge series where you can knock him right out, and you know the Yankees are going to win tomorrow, so we're going to go into this series 4.5.
4.5, yep, I think. Yep. But Mike, though, I mean, but Mike, if it is still the first weekend in August. I mean, if Chris Sale, if he is feeling a little inflamed in the left shoulder, isn't it better to hold him out in early August versus force him to pitch and then suffer the repercussions in late August, September, or, you know, worst case scenario, October?
No, I'm not saying that is not a problem. I think it's worse than they're making it out to be. And believe me, I hope they're wrong. But I'm just a little worried about this whole series. They don't hit Sabathia. The Severino, you know, he's not going to be giving up five runs every game. And let's face it, if it comes down to Sunday with David Price, it's just a little scary to me. And I don't know how you feel, but I've seen enough of Drew Pomeranz.
Oh, he sucks. It's terrible. And I think he topped out at 92 tonight. I must have missed when he broke 90. I saw him at 88 all night, and he pitches. It's like Clay Buchholz, the left-handed version of Clay Buchholz. So, so slow. And yeah, the Yankees are playing the Orioles, who right now are Adam Jones and 24 minor leaguers. They traded off everybody. Machado was just the start of it. They've torn down everyone from Zach Britton to Brad Bock to Jonathan Scope to Kevin Gausman. There are no more Orioles who you've heard of on that team anymore besides Adam Jones. So yeah, the Yankees, you assume, win tomorrow. 4.5 back. Sabathia, Brian Johnson, that's advantage Yankees. Yep. Could be a lot closer. Five's a good cushion, but could be a lot closer after this weekend. And Mike, you know, I am a pessimist by nature, but I agree with you. Chris Sale, 10-day DL, shoulder. Given how he cradled down the stretch last year, it's not good. No, it's not good. And the suddenness of it is concerning, too. Let's go to Ralph in New Jersey. What's up, Ralph? How are you?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really think the Red Sox made a mistake by not adding another reliever. I know they still have a little bit of time, but it's a lot harder now than it was. And I think the Red Sox had a much greater need in the bullpen than they did at second base. The Kinsler trade is definitely a nice necessity, but there's more important needs in the bullpen. I mean, before Kimbrel, you have Thornburg, who I still don't trust, Barnes, who did not look great tonight, and Kelly, who's had terrible struggles as of late.
He's the X Factor, Tyler Thornburg, Ralph. You don't have faith in Thornburg?
Not really.
No, I don't either. I agree with you. Bullpen remains the one big need on this team. You rank them. I don't know. I mean, second is a big need because in addition to Kinsler at second, Devers isn't great defensively either. You needed another solid defensive infielder, and Kinsler has been hitting over 300 the last month. Right-handed pull hitter, did surprisingly go the opposite way tonight. But you know, Kinsler, that's a move the Red Sox need, especially if Pedroia doesn't come back, which looks unlikely at this point, to put it mildly. That's your Pedroia replacement. So the Kinsler move I like a lot. I like the Pierce move a lot, who may get more playing time if Moreland continues to scuffle. I like the Eovaldi move a ton. And remember, Eovaldi, you can slot into the playoffs in October as well. And as we saw tonight with Pomeranz, the Red Sox need more consistency and more stabilization at the back of that rotation. So I like all the moves Dombrowski has made. The bullpen, yes, it's a miss. On the record, it would be negligent if Dombrowski did not address the pen, but I think he can do that between now and September 1st with the waiver wire in August. It is a good thing, I think, today, though the Red Sox need another reliever. They did not get Roberto Ozuna from the Jays. Astros picked him up Real quickly here, this story, Ozuna, a lot of mystery surrounding it. He assaulted a woman May 8th in Toronto. We don't know much more besides that. John Heyman reported that Major League Baseball interviewed the alleged victim. Ozuna's defense lawyer says it would be news to him if that happened. So we really don't know anything about this case, except the fact that he was suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball, which, like the NFL, investigates these incidents separately. It's the third longest ever suspension handed out under Major League Baseball's new domestic violence program. So why'd the Astros trade for him? Well, the suspension expires August 4th. And, of course, the hypocrisy is so great with Houston because they have a so-called zero-tolerance policy when it comes to domestic violence. When their GM, Jeff Luhnow, was asked about that the other day, he said that zero-tolerance means giving second chances to those who have, quote, made mistakes in other organizations. So judging by that, it's okay if you hit a woman, if you play with the Blue Jays, we'll trade for you as the Astros, but if Ozuna did that as an Astro, he would be cut. Not really quite know what that means. And look, I mean, we all pick and choose our morality with this stuff, but my issue with Ozuna is, in the callousness, I think, in the Astros trading for him, and why I think it's a bad day for baseball, is this case is still pending in the courts. So his suspension ends August 4th. I think I read he's due in court August 3rd. So you go straight from court, domestic violence case, to maybe pitching in a high leverage spot with the Astros. So if an NFL team did this, it would be front page news. I know it's baseball. It's Roberto Ozuna, a reliever. Not a lot of name recognition, but overall, not a great day for baseball. And as dire as the Red Sox bullpen needs were, I was glad to hear Dombrowski say today that they did not even really consider exploring a trade for Ozuna. That's it for Red Sox Day review tonight. Again, 3-1 loss to the Phils. A rare Wednesday off day for the Red Sox tomorrow. Then they get back at it for a monstrous mammoth 4-game set against the Yankees starting Thursday night. And we'll have your coverage all weekend long, as we always do, across the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Eamon, terrific job. I think fantastically produced Red Sox review tonight. Kirk and Callahan are on at 6. Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.